pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your great love, your rich in mercy that makes us alive in Christ. Lord, open our hearts to receive again the gift in which we cannot earn. Lord, allow us to rest in the promise that you are with us always. Holy Spirit, wash and renew us so we hear, believe, and obey your word today. Teach us to count the blessing of salvation first and best. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, it is good to be back in the pulpit to 3 weeks. I'm not going to lie, we're pretty nice. So thank you to Craig and Brent for filling the pulpit for the past few weeks. So now I have 3 weeks to make up for in terms of length of message. So, sorry, we're going to be here for a minute. But we're going to start a new series, Counting Your Blessings. Obviously, you know, like the Thanksgiving time is my jam, right? Just because I went to the store this weekend and there's already Christmas stuff up. Let me tell you, right now, I got a Christmas card. What day was that? The 31st?
Yeah,
she
tried to get it to you earlier.
Yeah. There is nothing, I'm just going to go on a soapbox, this has absolutely nothing to do with the message, but there's nothing that irritates me more than getting a Christmas card before Thanksgiving. I have never in my life gotten one in October. That is why Thanksgiving is my jam. It just gets lost in the mix. Plus, you get a lot of food. Anyway, off my soapbox. All right, so today we're going to talk about the blessing of salvation. All right, so the blessing of salvation is really the catalyst for all the other blessings that we have in our life. If we don't have salvation, if we don't have a relationship with Jesus, then all the other blessings that we'll talk about over the next 3 weeks, or 4 weeks if you count today, are going to mean a whole lot because all of our blessings come from God, and they come from first having the blessing of salvation. So have you ever had one of those mornings where, you know, you look for a sock and you can't find, you know, the matching sock? Your coffee may like taste like yesterday's disappointment, and your dog, or in my case, three dogs, are just watching you, judging your every move, right? Have you ever had one of those days? I mean, I exclusively wear black socks, so if they don't match, I'll just find a different black sock to wear, and it'll look like it matches, right? But we've all been there. Like Genevieve wears mismatched socks all the time because she's weird and 15. But on days like that, it might be difficult to see the different blessings in our life, right? If everything just kind of seems to be going wrong, like, man, there's nothing to be thankful for. There's no blessing in my life because X, Y, and Z, because my socks don't match. My day's going to be ruined, right? When life feels wobbly, that's really when we need to look at all the blessings that we have. And the top of that list is the blessing of salvation. The blessing of salvation. Now, salvation is not just a doctrinal word for seminary students, right? It's not just some fancy word. It's the heartbeat of our life as a follower of Jesus. It is the very beginning of our new life. Right? Salvation. It's the anchor in all of our storms. Right? It's the song when everything is silent. It is thebomb.com. Right? Salvation is where it all starts. It's God's rescue from sin and shame and judgment and all those different things that we've struggled with throughout our life. It's his rescue from that. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're already much, much more rich than you even think you are, right? There's no greater blessing than to have freedom to live in eternity with Jesus. Amen. So we're going to start today our new series, Counting Every Blessing. We're going to go through some blessings today. Again, is going to be about salvation. And like many of the series that we've gone through, we always kind of build some sort of a foundational thing as we go through the series, right? So today, the foundation is salvation. Because as I mentioned earlier, we aren't going to have any of the other blessings that we have until we have that blessing of salvation. So what's the motive of salvation? Ephesians chapter 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace." Now, Paul doesn't start with what we did, right? He starts by who God is. Who God is. He's what? He's rich in mercy. Now, if you lined up every single bank account in the world, that is peanuts compared to the riches that we have in salvation through Jesus. Mercy is not a concept for a greeting card. Mercy is God's heart bending toward people who cannot help themselves. Thank God for that, right? Thank God for that. Now, the Bible's diagnosis of our condition is pretty blunt. It says we were dead in trespasses. Dead in trespasses. Now, dead people don't pick themselves up, dust off, and then walk to the hospital. They don't. They need a miracle. They need a miracle. They need somebody to intervene, to help them, to provide this miracle. God doesn't look at our spiritual death with cold detachment. He looked at it with what? Great love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves his own love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." So God's love for us is the motive of salvation. Oh, I forgot to mention, I know it's been a few weeks, but we do have fill-in-the-blank notes in your bulletin. Titus 3:3 describes our before picture, right? So our what we looked like before Jesus. "For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another." Well, that's a kind of a nasty picture. Spoiler alert, before Jesus, that's who we were. Every one of us. Every single one of us. That's not one of them, you know, selfies that you want to take, right? And then post on the old whatever you posted on. That's a mugshot, right? That's us behind the prison bars. That's not what we want. We want what's on the other side of that. If we go a little further in Titus, starting in verse 3-4, it says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared," this is the important part, "he saved us. He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit." So kindness appeared, love appeared, salvation appeared. If it were a movie, it would be called Grace. And who's the hero? The hero is God. The hero is God. Now this might be maybe kind of like an elementary type message, but it's important that we understand our salvation. It's important that we understand the foundation upon which all other blessings flow, right? So bear with me as we go through this. Some of this you probably know. Some of it you might be new to you. But there was a lost hiker in a mountain. His phone was dead. His map was all beat up and wrong. But his pride wouldn't let him call for help. He's not getting out by effort. He needs a rescue team that knows how to get to him and knows how to get him out. That's salvation. That's salvation. We need a rescue team, also known as Team Jesus. We need him to rescue us when we're off the trail, when we're in the dark, when our map is all messed up. We need Jesus. And he came down the mountain to carry us home. We came down the mountain to carry us home. Luke 9 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Now that is something that you have got to be excited about, because that doesn't happen all the time, just in life in general, right? Like we might find ourselves in a sticky situation where we need, you know, some help from a friend or a relative or something like that. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, hard pass, man. I got other things to do. I can't help you. You're going to have to figure it out on your own. You know, the answer that Jesus gives 100% of the time is, you got it. Sure. Let me come down. Let me help you out. That's why we have to rely on him. That's first why we have to believe in him through faith alone in Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift." Now, it's important to remember that you did not climb up to God, but God came down to you. You did not climb up to God, but God came down to you. Meaning there's nothing that we could do besides believing and having faith and repenting. There's nothing we can physically do. He has to come down to us. Salvation is not a moral upgrade like getting a new cell phone with a, you know, fancy new, you know, camera on it. Salvation is a resurrection. It is a legal pardon. It is a deep clean that reaches the heart. We all need it. I mean, even after we've accepted Christ, we still need his help. Right? We need his help to you know, cleanse us, right? Because I promise, probably going to sin today. You're probably going to sin today. You know what we're going to need? We're going to need Jesus to clean us, to save us. And that's why he went to the cross to do that for us. Going to verse 5 of Ephesians 2, it says, "God made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace." So that means salvation is a union with Jesus. It's a union with Jesus. What happened to him by grace is counted as ours. What happened to him by grace is counted as ours. That should make you want to pause and just be excited about that. When he died, we died with him. When he rose, we rose with him. In verse 6, it goes further. It says, "He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus." Now think about that. Your future is so secure that God speaks of it as if you are already seated with Christ. That's not wishful thinking. That's spiritual reality. And 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." Salvation is the miracle of the new creation. Now, God does not put, you know, new paint on a dead tree. He plants a new tree where the old stump was. Titus 3:7 describes another vital part of this miracle. So that having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. So justified means declared righteous, right? It's like a courtroom language, right? You've been declared righteous, the judge of all the earth who looks at all of us, and he pronounced his verdict that none of us could earn. Not a single one of us could earn this. It was a free gift that he has given us. Romans 3:24 says, that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by his grace. Now, if you don't know what freely by his grace looks like, picture Jesus hanging on the cross for you and for me, for all the things that we've done. That is free, and that is grace. It's because Jesus took our place in Romans 6:23. It's not on your screen, but the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, right? So the gift of God through Jesus is our salvation. He bore our sins, satisfied God's justice, and offered the gift of eternal life. Salvation is a gift. It's not a paycheck. Salvation is a gift. It's not a paycheck. If you worked for it, it wouldn't be grace. If you worked for it, it would not be grace. It's nothing that we can earn, right? It's not a, you know, okay, we do this, and then therefore Jesus is going to save us. No, he's going to save us as long as we believe. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So that's a deep clean, right? It's not a rinse. It's not just rinsing something off before it goes in the dishwasher. No, it is a deep clean. The Holy Spirit does inside us what no self-help program can do. He gives us new birth. In John 3:7, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So the new birth in John 3:7 is not a spiritual hobby. It's an entrance into life with God. It's an entrance into life with God. And going to verse 6 of Titus 3, the washing and renewal aren't scarce. Paul says that God poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Abundantly. It wasn't like a little drop. It wasn't a little pour of the glass. Abundantly. Poured it out abundantly. The Spirit makes the work of Christ real to us. Real to us. He opens our eyes to the gospel. Right? As you're reading, and I know many of you know this, as you're reading the word and something comes alive to you and you're like, whoa! Well, I never pictured that. I never understood it until now. You know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit helping you understand the Word. That's what he does as our helper. Have you ever spilt something on a shirt? I don't know, Communion Sundays are always one of the greatest Sundays, but also the ones that cause me the most anxiety, because I'm afraid as I'm filling up the communion cups, I'm going to spill that juice like all over my pants, right? And then stain my pants or, you know, shirt or something like that. And then when that happens, right, what do? The first thing you think of is, oh man, I need to grab a towel or a scrub brush and just start scrubbing it, try to get that stain out. I don't know if anybody is trying to just use like soap and water to get, you know, like regular grape juice out of clothes. I feel like all it's doing is just really just kind of putting it deeper into the grain of the fabric, right? And then for ever, you're just going to have a big stain on your shirt or on your pants. We can't just scrub it. We can't scrub it. There's other things that we have to do. It doesn't fix it. But when we talk about salvation, we just can't scrub like our energy. Be like, oh man, I'm gonna be so much better if I just, you know, maybe if I promise to do this, or if I'm, you know, maybe not do that again or whatever. No, we can't just scrub it away. We have to believe. This is all. Isaiah 1:8, it's not on the screen. Although your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. So the washing of regeneration is only through Jesus that that can happen. We can't scrub it out ourselves. Right? We can't take a scrub brush, Brillo pad, whatever you use, and try to scrub out all the junk that we've done in the past. Only through faith alone and Jesus alone can that happen. Let's be clear, how does salvation become ours? In Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." So faith is the empty hand that receives the full gift. Works are not the door to salvation. Jesus is the door. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, is equally clear that we are not justified by the works of the law, but by faith alone in Jesus alone. Now, faith isn't vague optimism. Right? It's not vague optimism. It's not just whatever. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." You will be saved. Faith rests on what Jesus has done, not on what we promise to do. Who's bargained with God before? No, you don't have to show your hands, right? Who's bargained like, oh man, if you just make this, if you just allow this to happen, God, I promise I won't do X, Y, and Z, or I will do X, Y, and Z, right? We're like, we're just bargaining. That's not how it works. I'm laughing because, like, okay, God, if you do this, I'll do this, or I won't do this, right? I'd venture to guess that we've all been in some sort of bargaining situation with God before. Right now, every single person in here has faith. Every single one of you, even if maybe, but I know all of you, so I know that you have faith. But let's just say, for example, that you're all brand new. This is our very first service. I would say the same thing. Every single one of you have faith because you sat in a chair today. You had faith that the chair was going to hold you, right? I mean, we don't know. I mean, I haven't studied the engineering of how they made these chairs. I haven't looked at the integrity of the welds of the metal on these chairs, but I would sit in one because I have faith that the chair would hold me up. So each one of you have faith. And that's what faith in Jesus looks like, sitting in a chair. You entrust your whole weight to him. Faith isn't impressive. The Savior is impressive. Weak faith in a strong Savior is stronger than feelings in a weak Savior of your own making. That's in your notes, but I'm going to read it again. Weak faith in a strong Savior, Jesus, is stronger than strong feelings of a weak Savior of your own making. In other words, something that you're maybe thinking, oh, well, you know, this person, this friend, this family member will be able to, you know, help me, save me, do me, whatever. That is nothing compared to even weak faith that we have in Jesus. You know, some of us approach salvation like, you know, like furniture from, I don't know, we'll just say, you know, IKEA or whatever, right? Where they have, you know, like instructions like this thick, right? And they have, you know, like 47 different bags of hardware, right? Like you have screws that look identical, but once you use the wrong one, you realize, well, maybe the threading was slightly different, right? That's kind of what faith looks like. That's what salvation looks like. You know, we just go into it like, oh, man, I got a screwdriver and a dream, right? Or an Allen wrench. I mean, it seems like everything has Allen wrenches these days, right? Allen wrench and a dream. We don't need any instructions. You know, it's funny, when my mom, you know, was getting ready to move up here for into her condo, bless her heart, if you're watching, thanks, she ordered all this furniture, and of course she had it delivered to my house because nobody was, you know, living in the condo at the time. I just keep getting boxes and boxes of, and it was like a kitchen, like a dining table in a box like this big, you know, like this tall or whatever, like this wide. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to put that together, and I'm going to hate my life, right? We do need the instructions. I certainly needed the instructions on much of the furniture that my mom got. We wonder why we have extra screws, and now they're kind of messing. I don't even know why I'm keep going on these random tangents, but now they keep messing with you because they'll add extra screws in case you lose one. But then when you're finished and everything feels all sturdy, you're like, why do I have an extra screw? Or why do I have an extra one of those little nut things, right? Did I forget something? Then you try to sit on a chair and hope it doesn't break. But you have faith, right? So you sit in the chair anyways. Instructions say salvation is by grace through faith, right? So we might not think that we need instructions when we're putting together furniture, but when we're talking about our life, the instructions are very clear that salvation is by faith in Jesus. Pivoting to Matthew 28, Jesus says to his disciples, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Salvation brings us a new life with a new purpose. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. We're not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his works or workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So the Great Commission is not a side quest for the spiritually elite. It's a family business, right? It is for all of us to do. The blessing of salvation naturally overflows into the blessing of mission, right? The blessing of mission. You know, I think it was the beginning of this year, sometime last year, I can't remember, but, you know, my goal is to do as much outside of these walls as we can, because I believe God has called us to mission. Now, that mission could be Burlington, could be Minot, relax, it could be anywhere. That's where the people who don't know Jesus are. People who don't know Jesus aren't necessarily walking through these doors or doors in other churches, right? They're happy with, you know, where they're at. They're, you know, whatever they're doing, they you know, think they don't need Jesus, whatever. That's why it's important for us to be out on mission. You know, salvation is the fountain, and the mission is the pipes. Now, the fountain never runs dry. The pipes are there so the water reaches the thirsty people. If you are connected to the fountain, who is what? Jesus, then the fountain will flow through us into wherever we're at, wherever that mission field takes us. We don't try to be the fountain, or at least we hope. I pray we don't try to be the fountain. Because who's the fountain again? The fountain is Jesus. So when we start trying to be Jesus, what happens? Usually nothing good, right? Nothing good when we try to be God. No, we want to be the pipes. We want to allow Jesus to flow through us as we go into mission. And Matthew 28:20 gives two key phrases. It says, teach them to observe, and importantly, what? I am with you always. I am with you always. Obedience matters. Presence matters. We do not obey to become saved. We obey because we are saved and because Jesus is with us. Philippians 1:6 reassures us that I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So there's momentum when we become saved. There's momentum when we have this relationship with Jesus, because God finishes what he starts. God finishes what he starts. Remember that. Especially remember that when things seem like they're going a little weird, right? Maybe your life is maybe kind of in shambles, or some chaos, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, just look at, you know, watch 15 seconds of the news, and you can kind of picture the chaos that many people probably are feeling right now. But know that God finishes everything he starts. Everything. When you count the blessing of salvation, you'll find at least three treasures, and I'll go through these quickly because I know I'm being long-winded, which is no surprise. Number one, assurance. 1 John 5, verse 11 through 12 says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, there's some clarity here. There's not, you know, maybe, right? It says has life. Has life. Your assurance is not in your spiritual temperature on a Tuesday. It's in the Son. It's in the Son of God. If you have him, you have life. Second thing is identity. John 1:2 reminds us that we are children of God through faith in Jesus' name. Your deepest identity is your title at work. It's not how much money you have in your bank account. It's not where you live. It's not what kind of vehicle you drive. It is in Jesus. You are a child of God. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. So you already possess every spiritual blessing in Christ. Your experience will catch up to you as your position grows. Now you see this box here, right? Fancy little checker box. What does it say? It says grace. Right? It says grace. Now, if I were to offer this to somebody and say, hey, you wanna want this box? They've offered it to Jerry and said, Jerry, you want this box? Cheap. It's all yours. But then you try to pay for it, like, hey, well, I'll give you, you know, $5 for the box. Then it wouldn't be grace anymore, would it? It'd be something that he is now paying for to receive. The payment has already been made. There's nothing that we need to pay to receive. So we have this box, right? Then we open it up. Yeah, what is this? We have a receipt. Forgiveness, $0. Grace, $0. Love, mercy, salvation, $0, because it's been paid in full. Every single one of us has received this box. And how do we receive it? By grace, through faith. By grace, through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for all of us, for all of the crazy stuff that we've done, he died on the cross for that. And it is through that grace that we have faith and believe and therefore receive a receipt that's been paid in full. That's salvation. That is what faith alone and Jesus alone looks like. We have that. Every one of us has that. Salvation is a gift. It's not a wage. It's not something that we have to, you know, write a check for. It is a free gift that we have been given. Now, when we, you know, talk about salvation, you know, really when we go out to the mission field, when you go out to the mission field, when you go to your neighbors, to your workplaces, to the schools, to wherever you're at, you're going to get questions. If salvation is by grace, then why won't people just live carelessly? And the Bible answers that, that grace does not produce laziness, it produces love. And Titus 2, verse 11 through 12 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age." True grace trains us in godliness. Now, another question might be, if salvation is certain, what about my struggles? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we're not going to struggle. In fact, if it says if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to have some struggles. Matthew 28:20, we'll go back to that. What does it remember, or what do you remember about that? Teaching and observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the very end of age. He is always with us. Spirit renews us. The Father holds us. When you fall, because we're all going to fall, run back to Him. Run back to Him. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So when you fall, ask for forgiveness. And what's He going to do? He's going to be faithful and forgive us our sins. So what happens if somebody asks, "Well, what if my faith just feels too small?" What does Jesus say? Jesus said, "The faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains." Go back to our you know, one of our questions on here, that even, you know, small faith or whatever it was, weak faith in a strong Savior is better than weak faith in a or a strong faith in a weak Savior that we have come up with on our own. Small faith can move mountains. So how can we respond to this today? Receive the gift. Many of you have, if maybe you're questioning where your faith is, you know, there's no better time than now to rekindle that faith with Jesus. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." I want to pause very briefly on that particular verse, because I know some people might think, maybe some people may be watching, maybe somebody here, I don't know. If you read that, "If you believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household," that's not to suggest that because you are saved, therefore your household is inherently, you know, automatically going to be saved. What this is referring to is when the jailer came to Paul and was like, "Oh my gosh, tell me what is going on in your life. How do I receive this?" And Paul starts explaining his faith and how all of this stuff is happening and what Jesus has done. And he is also talking to this jailer's household. So that's why it's referencing household. So I just wanted to be very clear. Us receiving faith doesn't mean that automatically our family receives faith or our household. So I just wanted to be clear on that. But today can be your day. Not after you get your life together, right? Because all of our lives are just chaos and crazy, right? I mean, you could be retired and just be chilling on the front porch and having a coffee every day. Whatever it is, you can still have some chaos in your life. right? And if you don't, I'll give you some. If you've trusted Christ, then count your blessing of salvation out loud this week. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about how the goodness of God intersected with your life. If you remember that from like 2 years ago, our Made for Mission series, right? How the goodness of God intersected with our life. Tell somebody about it. A few summers ago, there was a lifeguard who jumped in the water to save a teenager who was panicked in the deep end. The lifeguard did not stand on the deck yelling instructions. He did not toss a manual that said, try harder. He dove in. The teenager was just flailing away, right? Oh my gosh, I'm going to drown, blah, 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 whatever. What did the lifeguard do? He spoke calmly. Stop fighting with me, I have you. The moment the team stopped struggling and trusted the lifeguard, the rescue took hold. He was brought to safety, wrapped up in a towel, and given space to breathe. That's what salvation looks like. We need a Savior, right? We need somebody to save us, and that somebody is Jesus. He wraps us up in His righteousness, places Spirit within us, and walks with us all the way home. Because what does Matthew 28:20 say? Because He is with us always. He is always with us. So quick summary. The motive of salvation is God's mercy and love. The miracle of salvation is new life, justification, and renewal by the Spirit. Because what? You are saved by grace. The method of salvation is what? By grace, through faith alone, in Jesus alone, for what He's done on the cross for you and for me. It is His free gift. It is nothing that we have to pay for. Praise God for that. And the momentum of salvation is a life of obedience on mission. Right? On mission. I don't want your faith to just be, you know, confined to these four walls. I want our faith to go out. Go out and share it with other people. I mean, that is the whole point, right? We want to, what? Be disciples that make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. We want to continue that cycle until every single person has faith in Jesus Christ. So count every blessing. Count every blessing and start with your blessing of salvation. Because that's where it all starts. That's where all other blessings flow. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise You for the grace that saves, for the Spirit that renews, and the hope of eternal life. Father, seal this word in us so our assurance grows, for our identity as Your children deepen, and our hope continues to shine. Father, send us out to our neighbors as grateful witnesses, confident that Jesus is always with us. Father, help us to keep faithful in every good work You've prepared for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.